as in KD, or do you mean me as in not Patrick?
Listen, I know the narrative is we all look alike, but I am in fact speaking of Patrick Walker.
They activated Malik Collins and put him with the one. Like, they didn't even wait for anything. They were just like, okay, you're good. Get back in there. That everybody fawned over Danny Amendola when he was averaging 7 yards a catch for the first 8 years of his career, and then he finally exploded and everybody's like, see? No, I don't see you.
We have lists of receipts stating Rico gathers upside. Although I'm giving you the reality of the situation, I'm also reinforcing the fact that he can catch. We know he can catch. Nobody said he can't catch.
All right. You are now rocking with the best. Thank you so much for tuning in for another exciting, exhilarating, and extraordinary Catch This Fade episode. I am, of course, your host, KD Drummond. That is my man, Patrick Walker. Say what's up to the people, Pat.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It is Catch This Fade, the latest episode. We have a preseason game in the books. We have a lot to talk about, good, bad, and the ugly. Let's get into it.
There was so much to take away from that first preseason game. I think all in all, everybody was excited about what they saw. But for me, beyond the rookies, and we can talk about them all day, we have been online on Cowboys Wire as well as Dallas 24/7 Sports. We've been talking about them all the time. But something exciting has been happening this week in practice, and I think this would I want to focus on because I think it's going to be the key to the 2018 season. Randy Gregory is practicing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not like just, you know, showing up. He's been there. He's been doing strength and conditioning work off to the side while everybody else has been getting their work in. But he's full-fledged, pads on, 11-on-11, individual drills, practicing.
Yeah, buddy. And it is provocative. It gets the people going.
We're seeing the clips, and unfortunately, you know, our connects that were out in training camp, they aren't there, but we still have, you know, the reporters that we trust. You all know who they are, and they're giving us these insights. They're giving us these video tidbits, and he's playing like he hasn't missed any time going up against some of the best offensive linemen in the league.
Now, who on earth could have predicted such a thing that there would not be this huge layoff of as far as him getting back to his prime football wheels? That who on earth could have set that kind of precedent leading into this preseason? Oh, that's right, me. Damn it!
When you say me, do you mean me as in KD, or do you mean me as in not Patrick?
Listen. I know the narrative is we all look alike, but I am in fact. I am, in fact, speaking of Patrick Walker. But to your credit, definitely, you have definitely been one of the ones who've been up there with me. We are a rare breed of analysts that have predicted that there would not be this excessive amount of time that would be required for Gregory to ramp back up to the status that we saw him in when we last saw him play in the last two games of 2016. And here we are. I mean, what did he do yesterday in practice? He had like two sacks within a three.
It's been pretty insane. Yeah, it's been pretty insane of as far as what we've seen and what we hope. They haven't made it official. The Cowboys have their second preseason game at home at AT&T Stadium against Cincinnati. I think we can all expect that he's going to make some sort of appearance, but we're not 100% sure because they just don't announce those sort of things, and it's not a situation where it will be. I mean, in the first preseason game, we saw guys that we expected to play all of a sudden show up as being injured, and they left him behind in Oxnard. That's not going to be the case because the entire team is coming back to Texas tomorrow, as a matter of fact, on Friday, and they're going to get situated back in their old lockers, and everything is going to be routine from here on out as far as preparation for the season. So I fully expect him to make a debut, and he'll probably sack Andy Dalton like 17 times in three plays. Give or take.
I think that's where we kind of differ. I mean, I agree that when he gets on the field, eventually he's going to make those plays. But I'm still 49-51 as far as against. I should say 51-49 against him playing in this particular preseason game. I personally would be much more comfortable if he got some more teamwork and practice in before putting him out there. So I would love to see him in the dress rehearsal, but not necessarily you know, against the Bengals. I would just like to see more practices under his belt before they do that. And I think that's the road they're going to take. But like you said, we won't know until we know.
For me, it's more about, I mean, a rep is a rep is a rep. Obviously, it's going to be ramped up from practice. But if you're practicing and if you're doing the individuals and you're doing the 11 on 11s, then the next step in your evolution, and according to Jason Garrett, there's been absolutely no setbacks, would be to put him out there against live competition. Now, does he need to play against the Cincinnati ones? Of course not. The twos? Of course not. But if Brandy Gregory has a possibility to come in the fourth quarter, like as opposed to some of these other guys that they're trotting out there, yeah, give me more, please.
Yeah, that I would agree with. I would definitely agree with that. If we're framing it as him bookending, or not necessarily bookending, but if him coming in to kind of close out the game, fourth quarter, you know, get those reps in, great, fine. But let's not have anyone thinking that he's going to be out there against the Cincinnati ones and he's only had, you know, a handful of practices, if that, under his belt. So
yeah, no, I don't think it'll be that. But one of the promising things that we saw on Twitter was Brian Broaddus today, who said basically that by the time week one rolls around, he's going to be the nickel rusher. And that is basically a de facto starter by the amount of times for the amount of time that the Cowboys play nickel defense. You know, I ran the numbers a couple weeks ago and we talked about the fact that they have two linebackers on the field 73% of the time. That basically means that they're going to be in a nickel situation where they're pass rushing. So we could really see him probably earlier than even I thought, getting back into the swing of things and being a major contributor during the regular season as opposed to just a once in a while. Now, all of that is to be determined. We have to know that he stays healthy through these next couple of weeks, which is the key for everybody included.
Yes.
In the Cowboys roster, is being able to escape. We know what's going on with Travis Frederick. He has a stingers. It's something that has affected other people throughout a season, so we have to be very cautious about what we're doing with him. I don't expect him to play at all on Saturday. I don't expect him to play at all for the regular season.
There you go. Put him in bubble wrap. He's done. He's done until September 9th. You will not see Travis Frederick on that field until September 9th.
Now, the person I think that hurts the most is another defensive lineman that I want to talk about, and that's Malik Collins. Because, listen, bruh, they activated Malik Collins and put him with the ones. Like, they didn't even wait for anything. They were just like, okay, you're good. Get back in there. Now, I don't know if he plays this week, but how exciting is it that the possibility that the guy that we saw at three technique in 2016, not the guy that was kind of overwhelmed as a nose tackle, but I hope they're willing to put him back at three technique until David Irving comes back and let him just go out there and wreck shop as a quick off-the-ball hand strike villain for opposing offensive lines.
I mean, we've talked about this in great detail over the course of this offseason, particularly with the issues with David Irving. And every time that I've spoken of the coming four-game suspension on David Irving, I've also spoke of Malik Collins having that starting role at the three-tech position. And even when he was rehabbing from that broken foot, even up to the point of him actually finally being activated off of the PUP list, he was off to the sidelines. He was getting his conditioning in and things like that, which is wonderful to see that he's in such good shape that he went from being activated to 5 minutes later not being with the threes or the twos. They put him with the ones. Mm-hmm. So that is a huge nod to the condition that he's in and the fact that he's ready to get out there. And right now the expectation is that he'll definitely play in the regular season opener. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't, unless he suffered some kind of setback. But that being said, fear of a setback would be a tremendous reason to not play him just yet.
Yep.
So, but yeah, it'd be absolutely fantastic, because if you give me, and even going back to Randy Gregory really quickly, my prediction was that he'd take over the starting role from Tyrone Crawford on their right defensive end position before October. But if he does that before then, all the better, because now you're potentially looking at going from right to left. Randy Gregory, Malik Collins, go ahead and pencil me in for Antoine Woods at the one tech, and you got DeMarcus Lawrence on the left side. Yep. Good grief, Charlie Brown.
Then think about, this is what's so beautiful, and you know I've been the biggest opponent of Rod Marinelli. I want him to show me the money, and he hasn't in the entire time that he's been here. But think of what that means for the second line of the Cowboys. If Randy Gregory is your de facto starter at right defensive end on passing downs, then you're talking about the rotational guys. Tyrone Crawford has lost weight. You're talking about guys like Detone Jones and Brian Price and Jahad Ward, and then you have Taco Charlton and Dorrance Armstrong. We're talking about waves, and we don't even know if we have have spots on the roster for guys like Charles Tapper. So from what we saw in the first preseason game that gave so many people hope, you saw Tank Lawrence flash. He's in regular season form. There's no doubt about it. You already saw what he is. Yes. He is going to be the same monster that he was in 2017. We saw such hope from Taco Charlton. I crunched the numbers. You look at what he did during the last five games of the season. His pass rush productivity numbers, his hurries, his hits, his sacks was at 10.6. That was his PRP rating. The only players on the Cowboys team that was better than that were Tank Lawrence and David Irving. And you know what kind of phenomenal season they were having when they were playing. Mm-hmm. So for me, if you see that Taco's improving, and that's what he's done every step of the way, to have him be that guy that's backing up Tank Lawrence and taking over on inside passing downs possibly. Now, I know my man Landon McCool, and he was out at camp longer than anybody. He told us that they didn't really work him inside at the three technique on passing downs. That job was given to Tyrone Crawford. So what it may be is that Taco plays on the left. Tyrone Crawford takes the second three technique position. Then you have a guy like Detone Jones as a first three technique position with Dorrance Armstrong on the right defensive end side, and I'm gravy with that too.
Look at what you're saying, though. Like, this is, I'm trying to curb my enthusiasm. Why? And I'm failing. I'm failing horribly because look at the names that you're talking about. Look at what the progression that Taco Charlton is undergoing right now. You look at how he flashed against the 49ers. Now, of course, if you look at the stat line, you're like, oh, well, there's a bunch of goose eggs. But if you look at the actual film, right, and his three pressures and his two hurries and his one quarterback hit in limited play, I think PFF had him at a 22.5 pass production rating, which is the highest of all 4-3 DEs from last week that played a minimum of 10 snaps. And then we talk about rookie Dorrance Armstrong.
Yes, sir.
I can't say enough about this kid. His upside is fantastic, and he was clearly miscast in his final year with Kansas. So the Cowboys saw something there. Phenomenal scouting. Now, we're talking about not just the four guys that we named, which is a terror in and of itself, but these waves of talented pass rushers, to the point where are we actually asking ourselves if a player with the ability of Charles Tapper, if a healthy Charles Tapper will make the team, if that's even a question remotely, that should give you a keen idea of exactly how talented and deep this Cowboys defensive front is. It is phenomenal.
It's a beautiful thing. And then to make it even a better conversation, we're getting reports that David Irving's mind is right. Like, he suspended. Everybody knows the story. He suspended. He was, pinged for substance abuse. He suspended the first four games of the season. He was suspended the first four games of last season for PEDs. He missed the final four games of last season with a concussion, and he's in rehab. He hasn't been with the team the entire offseason. He hasn't been with the team since he showed up from minicamp after missing all of the OTAs, and then when it was time for training camp, he had checked himself into rehab facility sometime prior, and he's not expected to be back until after his suspension is over. But our man Mike Fisher from 24/7 Sports has reported, from speaking to people in Irving's circle, that he is in a positive place and proper mindset that he could potentially be right back once his suspension is over. Now, a lot goes into that, conditioning, and yes, you know, we have to make sure that if you're in rehab, obviously there's always a danger of regressing. That's anybody that has, you know, those sorts of issues, they know the burden and the tasks that are ahead of them. But if he's in the right mentality now, that is the best that you can ask for, spinning forward to the projection of what happens when the time comes that he's allowed to be back around the team and back on the field.
Absolutely, because most of what he's gone through over the course of the offseason, it has weighed on him so heavily mentally that he's not been able to kind of get the physical side in gear, because obviously the body follows the mind, and typically it doesn't flow the other way. So the fact that we're hearing that someone that had arguably one of the worst off seasons in recent Cowboys memory, and that's saying a lot considering the Cowboys have been known to not have great off seasons.
You ain't never lied.
But considering what he went through and all he's going through currently, to hear anything positive coming from the David Irving camp is absolutely phenomenal. And then you kind of foreshadow and look forward to, you know, week five, if Irving comes back, and let's temper it a bit and assume that it takes him 2 weeks to kind of get back in. Now, he didn't have these mental hangups during the last suspension, so he was able to come in and get right to Aaron Rodgers, right? But this time, let's give him that 2 week grace period. But the fact is, once he comes back, the starting role is in fact going to be his. And now, what was already a terrifying defensive front has now become more so. I mean, they're going to have to invoke some kind of Jordan rules against the Cowboys pass rush, man. Like, these quarterbacks, the only thing that I would say that's going to stop the Cowboys pass rush is going to be lack of holding penalties that we saw like in 2017. If opposing offensive lines are able to get away with holding, you know, to such an egregious degree as they were in 2017, then yeah, the Cowboys are going to be up against it because you can't beat the refs. You can't beat the refs. But if the refs are calling the game fairly, the Cowboys are going to tee off on these quarterbacks, man.
I think we basically put that on display with this defensive line. But there's a couple things that we're not really on board with the rest of Cowboys Nation on.
Talk.
Somebody's got to catch this fade, bruh.
Let me take these gloves off, man. Let's loosen these strings. Let's get the Vaseline going. Let's go, man.
Attention, Rico Gathers stands.
Hey.
It's time for you to
let it go. Let it go.
Listen. Listen, it is what it is. He is the fourth tight end on the roster. He isn't making the noise. The man himself is admitting that everything that you are so excited about, that he's making it seem like he is the second coming of Jordan, it's not going to be enough, and he still has to improve on the things that Garrett and company want him to improve on. So why are y'all in these mentions every day?
Every day. And the thing about it, ladies and gentlemen, and this is why you're going to catch the fade. We're talking Mike Tyson style. You got to catch two to the body, one to the head. Right. The fact is, not only is he on the bubble, but he knows he's on the bubble. And that kind of accountability I can respect.
Yes.
But what I can't respect is when all of the analysts, the credible analysts, I should say, were giving you the temperature of the relationship between him and the Cowboys and have been for months. And you combine that with what he's saying, which completely backs up what we're telling you, and you still sit in the corner with your arms crossed, upset because the ice cream doesn't taste how you like it to taste.
I wanted chocolate.
We all wanted chocolate. KD and myself, I can speak for both of us. When the Cowboys drafted, put that 6th-round flyer on Rico Gathers, and we saw that upside. For 2 years, we beat that drum. For 2 years, mm-hmm. We saw the upside. We saw the potential. And then something happened over the course of the past calendar year. We noticed that the Cowboys were souring on Rico Gathers. And then we started asking the question to our, you know, connections, and we started kind of monitoring the situation closely to figure out, well, why exactly is that? Is it simply because he's not progressing as a blocker? Like, what's going on? So then we gather all of this information, and yes, it's blocking, but at the same time, it was lack of focus. And, yep. You know, he didn't ingratiate himself with the team because there were other players like your Jeff Swaim and Blake Jarwin at the time before they drafted Dalton Schultz. Those guys were fully committed. Those guys were in the meeting room and on the practice field, and they were trying to get the job done. Rico Gathers, to his own admission, was not focused at the time. But now here we are, and the Cowboys have invested hundreds of thousands of dollars, be it salary and resources, to develop him. And he didn't, quote unquote, wake up mentally until they chose to activate Blake Jarwin to keep him from going to the Philadelphia Eagles, instead of activating him after being cleared from his concussion. If that, it took a year and a half at that point for you to wake up, and then now you're fully committed because Dalton Schultz has been selected. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're in a relationship and the person that you're with won't get right until they see someone else texting you, until they catch you on a date with someone else, that's
newsflash.
Newsflash. it's not a healthy relationship, and you have to ask yourself the question, if you were to remain in that relationship, is that person going to regress back to their old ways? Long story short, Jeff Swaim is the starter. He's earned it. He has those skins on the wall. That doesn't mean he's going to keep the role. Blake Jarwin looks great right now in training camp and in the preseason opener. Dalton Schultz looks great at both blocking, catching, and focus. And we're sitting here answering lists of mentions about the fourth string tight end because he had a good catch in practice. Practice. Not a game. Not a game. Practice.
Listen, I have to lump somebody in with the Rico Gather stands that's got to catch this fade. And it's about the same topic. It's about the same player. These people that are on the Facebook pages talking about the Cowboys have another bust, another wasted draft pick when talking about Rico Gattis. Bro, are you freaking serious? He was a sixth round pick. And y'all sitting here acting like they devoted all sorts of time and resources as far as draft capital in getting this guy on the squad. A sixth-round pick. Not just a sixth-round pick. They didn't even have a seventh-round pick. He'd have been a seventh-round pick if they had one. This was absolutely the least amount of investment that they could have possibly spent on a player to make sure that they secured his services. And I got people talking about this is another wasted Cowboys draft pick. First of all, you're not even understanding what draft capital is about. Second of all, you're not even paying attention to the Cowboys drafts under Will McClay because they've been absolutely phenomenal.
But Lord, heaven forbid a sixth round flyer doesn't work out. And we're talking draft capital, right? So draft capital equates to draft value, and draft value puts us right up on the chart. Without me even pulling up the chart, the value on a sixth round pick, the value on Rico Gather's pick,
4.1 It's not even four.
Right.
I'd have said four. It's not even four.
What are we talking about, ladies and gentlemen? And the thing that really drives it home. And again, I'll take a step back and I'll reiterate what I said 2 minutes ago that you probably already forgot because you're in your feelings because this is your guy. OK, I'm going to reiterate the fact that KD and myself, we have lists of receipts from stating Rico Gather's upside. Hell, you can read my most recent pieces and you'll see that although I'm giving you the reality of the situation, I'm also reinforcing the fact that he can catch. We know he can catch. Nobody said he can't catch. We're saying that his blocking is not up to standard. His focus has not been up to standard until lately, in going into his third year. And for those that are saying, well, you know, we got to keep him because watch, he goes somewhere else and he balls out. Who cares? That's not how you run a team. You don't run a team successfully by saying, I'm going to keep this guy who clearly doesn't fit our need because we don't want him to do well somewhere else. If that isn't the most bitter 11th grade logic I've ever heard in my life.
Listen, for the most part, when the Cowboys release somebody, they never go on to do important things. I mean, the only guys that I can really think of are Danny Amendola, and we all know how disgusted I was with the situation that everybody fawned over Danny Amendola when he was averaging 7 yards a catch for the first 8 years of his career, and then he finally exploded, and everybody's like, see? No, I don't see. You would have wasted the first 8 years of his career in Dallas. Eric Walden, he was an outside, an edge rusher that kind of developed once he got to Green Bay, and he's had a nice career. But other than that, the Cowboys don't really lose guys that go elsewhere and then all of a sudden just ball out.
Wait. Are you saying that Darius Jackson did not become an all-pro running back once the Cowboys, quote-unquote, made the mistake of releasing him for Darren McFadden?
Oh, is he battling right now for a practice squad spot on the Cowboys once again? He's back?
For the second time.
Yeah.
So that just goes to our point, man. Ladies and gentlemen, Rico Gathers is the fourth tight end, the fourth best tight end on the Cowboys roster. The Cowboys will likely only carry three, which is the smart move because you don't want to go light somewhere else to carry four tight ends. And if they, in fact, do go with three, then Rico Gathers will be cut and you will move on because you should move on.
And that's it, man. That's it. We're going to go ahead and wind this up early. We had another catch this fade, but I think that we've damaged too many egos and there's going to be too many hurt feelings right now. So we're going to save that catch this fade for the next time. Tell them where to find you, Pat.
And find me on Twitter at Voice of the Star. Make sure you download the CBS Sports app because I know you're on the move like everyone else. And if you're at work and you want to kind of sneak a peek at the desktop, go to 247sports.com/Dallas-Cowboys. Get all of your latest and greatest news on this side of the world. Give them what you got, KD.
You can find me on Twitter at KD Drummond NFL. I am on Cowboys Wire, managing editor over there. And guess what, folks? We have an app too. That's right, Pat. You're not the only one on an app. Go download SportsWire. You can pick from all of the different wire sites, some of the other USA Today products, and streamline all of the news that you want. Obviously, you'll have Cowboys Wire front and center. And if you care about any other team, then go ahead and add them to the rotation, too. But, yes, SportsWire, download it on your iPhone, Android, whatever the device is. We got you covered. Cowboys Wire, you know what it is. That's it for this episode of Catch This Fade. And y'all, Rico Gather stand, get your life. Get your life.
Man, get your whole life, man. We wish him the best, but, you know, like he said, he's trying to make somebody's 53-man roster, and that's a quote from him. Read between the lines, because we'd hate to have to keep shoving your face between there. Wake up.
You know what it is. Salute.
Out.